Well, without further ado, I'd like to welcome you to the platform, Pastor Greg Bedell. You know, he is a husband first, a father. He is a pastor. He is an author. He is an evangelist. He is a mighty man of God. He's had a lot of life experiences, as a lot of the men heard last month, and he's just an awesome, down-to-earth guy. And I'd just like you to, he's going to speak a bit more about this, and I'd like you to welcome him now to the platform, Pastor Greg.
Good morning. It's certainly good to be here. Let me tell you a little bit about myself, but I just want to say something first. It's very rare that I come into churches and they're full on for God with missions. And when you support missions, you give money, don't you? It's a bit like being married. When you're married, you give money. And so my wife and I were missionaries in Papua New Guinea. We're with an organization called YWAM. Has anybody ever heard of YWAM? You know what the letters YWAM stand for? Youth Without Any Money. And so we were the first couple to leave Australia with Youth with a Mission, and we understand about finances in mission, so you need to support your missionary ventures. Can I just ask this, and I want everybody to be carnal now. Does anybody know how to be carnal? Only one. Pastor. That was Pastor put his hand up. No. How many people here could do with a little bit more money in the bank? Come on, be honest with me. You know, petrol's going up, rates are going up, everything's going up, taxes are going up. I used to think that the world rotated on its axes, but then I learned that it rotates on its taxes. But I want to tell you how to get money, because we need money, all right? First of all, go to get a job and get work, all right? Go earn some money. But the best way to increase your finances is reading the Word of God, because the Bible says, he who gives to the poor lends to God, and the Lord repays him. Isn't that good? You can't outgive God, and you can't outgive just giving to missions. So it's good to be here. I was here some years ago, but this morning I want to share with you on the subject of hearing the voice of the Lord. Some years ago, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want you to write a book on the healing of cancer. How many people here know somebody either who has cancer right now, had cancer, or died of cancer? Can't you see your hands? That's the majority of you. Isn't that sad? I'm on a mission to stamp out cancer in this nation and around the world. So I've written a book here called Cancer Defeated Foe. It's got seven testaments of seven different people healed of terminal cancer. Isn't that good news? People think when the doctor says, look, we've diagnosed cancer, they think it's a death sentence, but it's not. It's another opportunity to be healed by the power of God. And so that book is there. But this morning I want to share with you on the subject of hearing the voice of the Lord. As I travel, and I've been traveling now every single week for the last 25 years, at the moment I'm only going to be home 7 or 8 days in 8 weeks in 4 different states. And so as I travel, I have people coming to me all the time saying, Pastor Greg, you know, I've been a Christian all these years. I've been in the church. I've been a deacon, an elder on the board. But God has never, ever spoken to me. Let me just sort of disturb some people. I need to say this. When God speaks to you, he never sends text messages. All right? It's a spiritual voice that talks to us. And so people say, I've never really heard the voice of the Lord. I love God, but I've never heard the voice of the Lord. Let me tell you a little bit about my grandma. My grandma lived in an island in the middle of the Hawkesbury River in New South Wales, and I used to go there every so often, and my grandma would say, Greg, what do you want for dessert tonight? And I'd always ask for meringue. All right? And I'll tell you that in a minute. But one day, grandma said, sit up here. I want to talk to you. And she lifted off the top of this cake tin and she pulled out all these letters. And she began to read them. And as she began to read through them, tears began to go down her cheeks here. And these letters were letters from my grandfather when he was in Gallipoli as a soldier. She said to me, "These are the words your grandfather wrote to me when he was away for all those years. His love letters." The first thing I want to say this morning, you need to read the Word of God. You don't take the Word of God home. See, a lot of people come to church, they've got the Bible under their arm, and it's a little bit like show and tell. I've got my Bible, I must be a Christian. And then they go home, and they put it up on the shelf, and they don't touch it again till they wipe the dust off, till next Sunday they bring it along to church again. God wants you to read His Word, because God's Word is His love letters to us. He wants to share with us His love. And so the first thing that you need to do to hear the voice of the Lord is to read His Word. You need to become connected with His Word. Because here's the deal, if you don't obey His written Word, you'll never obey His spoken Word. Some people say, but I want God to hear, I want to hear Him audibly. You need to read His written Word. The more you read His written Word, the more you read His love letters to you, and the more you and God become more closely connected. God's spoken word never contradicts His written word. You can find everything you want in the Word of God. The Word of God is your roadmap. It's your insurance policy. It's your marriage counseling guide. It's everything. It talks to you about business and how to bank, and it tells you all this. You need to read the Word on a constant basis. My wife will go to bed with me of a night, and 2 o'clock in the morning, I'll roll over and she's not there. She's in her office reading the Word of God. And the more she reads, guess what? The more the Lord speaks to her about what He wants her to do through the day. I want to read you a scripture. It's found in the book of John, chapter 8, verses 30 and 32. It says, "And Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, 'If you abide in My word,'" abiding in God's word is not just reading God's word. Abiding in God's word is constantly communicating with God through His word. "You are My disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So the first thing I need to tell people, and the ultimate thing, is to get into the written word of God and get it into your heart and get it into your spirit. And then there's another thing that God does to us in speaking to us. It's the inner witness. Everybody needs to have an inner witness. And Jesus, let me tell you what Jesus said in Luke chapter 5, verse 22. "But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your hearts?'" You need to operate in this ability, because on the earth today, there's a lot of people out there trying to rip you off. Does anybody know about that doctrine? People trying to rip you off. You're going to get phone calls all the time saying, "We need money." Now, my daughter's ex-boss, he was a general in the Australian Army, he's just sent $50,000 over to somebody in Asia and never met them. It's gone. It's gone. Some people are going to come to you and say, "Look, we've got this new deal. And if you sign up to this new deal, you're going to make like 80% on your money per year in interest." It's not going to happen. You can be ripped off. Don't believe what people are saying. Believe what the Holy Ghost is saying in here. The inner witness. The inner witness. Some years ago, I came back from up north. I'd been pastoring up there. And Susie said, "What are we going to do now?" And I said to her, "Well, I think we should start a business." Now, I'm not an educated person. When I was a child, I never went to school. I had some real bad problems. I had meningitis, and I became mute, and so a lot of difficulties in those early years. And so I didn't have a university education or anything like that. But Susie said, "What kind of business are we going to start?" And I said, "I feel in my spirit we need to start a business for educational supplies to the education department." Do we have any teachers here this morning? Got a few teachers? Well, I used to run a business here in West Australia called Educate and Styleline Enterprises. And I marketed to the schools, but I knew nothing about it at all. So the first thing I had to do, I had to go down to a warehouse, which was nearly as big as this whole church. It was a huge warehouse. And I walked around looking at books, and the manager came out and shook me by the hand, and I introduced myself, and he said, have you been in this business before? Are you a school teacher? I said, no. And then he said to me, well, we only take cash, because he thought I was going to go down the gurgler. And then he said, well, you have a little wander around and you pick out what you want and I'll come and see you later. And so I did that. And I'm walking around saying, now, God, I'm in this business because you led me this way. And like you and I are like partners. And I said, but I don't know anything about this. I never read a book. You ask my wife. I never, ever, ever read a book except the Bible until I was 26 years old. Now I'm in education. I said to God, why me? You know what he said? I've chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. So I walked around this building and there were books everywhere, all the way up to the ceiling. And I just didn't know what to buy. And I said, Lord, help me. We're in this thing together. And I looked around to this side and there was two books that went from the floor all the way up to about where that cornice is there. And they were glowing. And they were really glowing. And I said, Lord, are they the books you want me to buy? He said, yes. And so I went up to the manager. I said, see those books over there, those two? I said, how long have you had those? He said, I haven't sold one book in 10 years. I said, people don't like him. He said, not that. He said, but in Western Australia, and I don't know if it's the same today, he said, we have in the education department a group called Library Services. And Library Services, they pick what is going to be in social science and things, and then they read books and they recommend books for reading. He said, those two subjects have never been recommended by Library Services. I said, how much are they worth? He said, $20 each. I said, how about if I give you a dollar? Get them off your hands. They're getting dirty and dusty. He said, okay. I gave him the money. I took them home. Susie and I had to polish every book up because of the dust. And the next morning I got up and I put the books in the car and I went down to Balga Primary School. I walked in and the librarian said, hi, who are you? And I told her and I said, I've got some books for you to look at. And honestly, when she saw the book, she nearly kissed me. I said, you like them? She said, like them? We just got a letter from Library Services on Friday and these books have now been recommended for the whole state of West Australia for reading for children. I'm not going to tell you how much money I made, but I will tell you I sold it for $20 each. I was the only person in the entire state with those books. Everyone scrambling to get them from... They were, for the teachers, they were produced by the Macmillan Company in Britain. Isn't God a good God? You see, you can be going into a deal and it might seem good, it might look good on paper. You might have all the coloured brochures and God says, no. Let me tell you, that company's probably going to go down the gurgler down the road. You don't want to go down with them. You need to have the heart of God on everything you do. And not just in business, with your kids and with your grandkids, with your marriage, with the car you buy, with the house you buy. Everything you need to have an inner witness. You need to have that little spark go off in your spirit man, in your spirit man. It's really good to have it with your children when they're teenagers. Does anybody know about teenagers? Yeah. If you want to know anything, ask a teenager while they still know everything. They don't know everything. No, they don't. They don't. They don't. I agree with my brother here. When I was really young, I used to go to these camps. They were Christian camps. If your church ever has a camp, make sure you get your children to the camp. If you've got to go out in sweet streets to get some money, make sure you've got the money to send them to camp because camps are going to be a highlight for the rest of their life. So I went along to these church camps in Sydney. And every time we had a camp, they'd have these speakers and they used to move in the things of the Holy Ghost. And I was back then. I was born again under the ministry of Oral Roberts in 1956. I've been a Pentecostal Christian for 62 years. That's older than some of you have been. Yeah, I'm looking at you. And I go along to the camps, and these guys would move in the Holy Ghost. And something touched my spirit. I wondered what those men were having. The problem was I was only 14 years old. Why would God give a 14-year-old something as so valuable as the Holy Ghost? Well, let me tell you, he wants to give the Holy Ghost to everybody. Because my God is no respecter of persons. Some people say, you know, teenagers are the church of tomorrow. That's a barefaced lie. Teenagers are the church of today. We need to see our teenagers walk in the things of the Holy Ghost. And so I'd see these men moving in the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and I wanted those things, but the gift that was probably used the most and the gift that I really wanted was the gift of the gift of the word of knowledge. The gift of the word of knowledge. And so even though I didn't read a book for till I was 26, I used to read the Bible. All the kids' heroes back then were Batman and Robin. Mine were Paul and Moses. And so I wanted that gift. And let me read you a little scripture here. It says in the first book of Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 31, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Covet the best gifts. Well, you know what's the best gift out of the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost? All of them. It's the one you can use at that very time. My wife took my daughter to lunch to an African restaurant just a little while back. And as they were just about to pay the bill, there was a family in front of them. And the man in front who was paying the bill just collapsed on the floor. He went down. People are yelling out, "What's happening?" Wives are crying and people are calling the ambulance. And the lady behind the desk is running around. "What are we going to do? We've got a man near dead on the floor." And what does Susie do? Susie used the best gift, the laying on of hands. Susie, when that man hit the floor, Susie hit the floor beside him and began to lay hands on him. And my wife said to this man, "I believe in Jesus. You look like you're not very well. Do you want me to pray for you?" He said, "Please pray, please pray." And the man's friend standing up said, "What do you think you're doing? Do you think you're giving my friend the last rites?" He was very negative, but the man got healed. That man didn't need a prophecy, did he? No. He didn't need to be raised from the dead, did he? No. He needed the best gift at the moment. So the Bible says, covet earnestly the best gifts. And so I begin to covet. I begin to covet. And the word covet means a warm, glowing feeling, something that you really desire. And I did that for a period of time, but nothing happened. There was nothing happening in my life at all in that realm. And so I went back to God. I said, "God, you know, what do I do?" And let me read you the next thing. The Bible says, "Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find." That's good. And then Jesus said to me in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 2, "You have not because you ask not." I decided from that day on I was going to ask God every day of my life for that gift. I'd go clean my teeth in the bathroom in front of the mirror and I'd say, "God, I want to walk in the gift of the word of knowledge, and I'm only 14 years of age." Some of you are older than that. I can tell. I got the word of knowledge. No. But I asked God, and I asked God, and I asked God. And it seemed like I was asking and asking, and nothing was happening. And so finally, I went to God again, and I said, "Lord, it seems like I'm in a dark place here. Nothing's working out for me." And the Lord said to me, "I want you to read the scripture. It's found in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 6. It says, 'Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands.'" Stir it up, stir it up. You know, I didn't have a clue how to stir it up. How do you stir up a gift? Do you get some word of knowledge in a bowl? And, you know, no, you don't do that. But I did remember my grandma again. My grandma, she said to me one day, "Let's make a meringue." I love meringues. And she said, "And I'm going to get you to help me." I thought that was a good idea until I saw what I had to do. And all you guys, you know how to make a meringue, don't you? You whip it. That's what your grandma did to you. Whipped you. I'll tell you what you do. The first thing you've got to do, you've got to crack the egg, put it into a bowl, and then you girls know, you know how to do this. I was talking to this lady. She's lovely, you know. She's like my grandmother. And so anyway, you would take the yolk out carefully and separate. Sometimes in life, you've got to separate the carnal from the spiritual. Get rid of the yolk. Then after we did that to about 10 eggs, my grandma said, "Now, Greg, I want you to come over here and I want you to stir up this egg white." I'd never done it before. Now, today, if you're going to make a meringue, you girls would go get one of these little machines that you bought from down at Harvey Norman. You'd put it on the end of the bench, put the egg in, put it under there, press the button and walk away. And that thing's going to go... And it might beat for the next 5 or 10 minutes. It doesn't bother you. You're over there cooking something else, maybe a cake. But it's just spinning and spinning, and then you come and you test it, and then it's done. But my grandmother didn't have one of those. My grandmother was... This is back in the 1950s. The next thing some of you girls who are of the mature age here... I got a lot of wisdom. They had what we call egg beaters. Does anybody remember the egg beaters? You do. And you would go like this, and you'd have to really go up this for a long time, and that would change the egg white to a strong consistency. But Nana didn't have one of those either. My Nana lived back in the days of the fork. And she gave me this bowl of egg white and a fork. And she said, "Get stirring. Get stirring." And I stirred and stirred and stirred. I'm beating and stirring till my right hand nearly fell off. I could hardly move it anymore. I said, "Nana, this thing ain't working." She said, "Keep stirring." And I said, "I can't stir anymore." She said, "Change over to left-hand drive." It's going to form that consistency if you keep on stirring. So when I was about 15 and a half, I guess, I was working as a carpenter or an apprentice carpenter. I had to walk up this long road called Roberts Road in Sydney, and I used to hitchhike. And one day I'm hitchhiking and a car pulls up and I hop in and the man said, "Hi, what's your name?" I said, "My name's Greg." I said, "You're Mr. Jones, aren't you?" He said, "Yes, I am. Do you know me?" I said, "Well, I know about your son. Your son's been in trouble with the police and your son was locked up and now he's got to go to court." And I said to him, "But you know what?" I said, I go to a church youth group up on the hill called Calvary Chapel. And our church is full of young people who have been in trouble in all kinds of ways. And I'd like to invite you to bring your son along." And I didn't know what his name was. I didn't know about his son. I didn't know anything. He was a man I'd never met before. And I got out the car and went, "Whoa, what was that?" That was the Holy Ghost beginning to work through me on the first day. And I was only 15 and a half or so. So then what happened was the next day, driving along again, and a car picks me up and I hop in. He says, "Hi, how are you?" I said, "I'm fine. How's your wife these days?" He said, "What do you mean, my wife?" I said, "Well, I've heard she's been diagnosed with terminal cancer. I belong to a fellowship where we believe in Jesus for healing." And day after day after day after day, the word of the Lord had kept on flowing through me, and I was only a young teenager. You know what it took? Stirring. Stirring. If you think it's going to happen overnight, think again. There's a lot of work in being used of God, being used of God. And these things begin to grow. They will grow as you move on with the things of God. Now, can I just say this? I have a lot of people that come to me and they want me to give them a word. After church, they'll signal me out. They want me to give them a word. And I've always got a word for them. Did you know that? Because I'm very spiritual. The only problem is it's nearly always the same word. People say, "Have you got a word for me, Pastor Greg?" And I say, "Yes, go home and read your Bible." Isn't that what you do? If you have a need, don't ask somebody else to help you with that need or that understanding. Go to God because God knows everything. People say, well, do you have faith? Yes. Do you have faith for healing? No. Do you have faith for finances? No. What do you have faith in? I have faith in God. You understand that? You put your faith in God. You don't put your faith in human element. It's all about God. It's all about believing in the power of the living God. Yesterday I was speaking at a church down in Mandurah. And I spoke on living in the natural supernaturally. We can do that. Did you know that? We were born as natural people, so we live as natural people. But then what happens is you get born again and your spirit man is born again. So you can walk, and nothing wrong with living in the natural. Did you know? I'm going to be honest here. I'm going to confess. Don't tell my wife I confess, but I like to eat food, drink water. I go to the bathroom every day. That's a natural element, isn't it? But then God says, now it's time to lead you out of the bathroom. I've got something for you to do over here. And God wants to minister not just to you, but he wants to minister through you. And there's hardly a day that goes by that my wife doesn't witness the people and get them born again. She says, Lord, who do you want me to go to today? You don't run around trying to pick somebody. You say, Lord, who do you want me to minister to today? The word of knowledge is imperative for our survival of our marriage, of our businesses, of our children, and every part of our life. I tell people this, don't leave home without your gift. Now, be honest with me, how many people here would leave at home without their mobile phone? No, you got a mobile phone. Boy, I tell you what, you're really into it, aren't you? You want to know everything about it. You want to be able to get this app and that app, and you want to find your street directory on it. You want to do everything on it. You wouldn't leave home without your phone. Don't leave home without the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. They are not just vital for you to find Hay Street, Perth. They're instrumental to you finding people who need to be blessed by the Holy Ghost. Are you with me on that? Some time ago, I was. We lived in Darwin. Does anybody know Peter and Lynn Cropp here? These guys over here, the nice-looking guys and wife. Well, they were the first members of our church when I got to Darwin. They were already in the church before I got there, and they will tell you that Perth is a lot different than Darwin. Here in Darwin, we have what we call four. In Perth, we have four seasons. We have winter, autumn, spring. And summer. Is that correct? Yeah. Up there, we don't have those things. We have hot, stinging hot, sweaty hot, and unbearably hot. So my wife, who is English, said, honey, let's build a pool. I'm English. So we built a pool, and one afternoon I was having a little swim in the pool, and I took the hands-free phone out and put it by the pool. Got in just half the length, and the Lord spoke to me and said, ring Danny. I said, Lord, what do you want me to say to Danny? He said, tell Danny, if a young, beautiful woman comes knocking on his door and says, you don't know me, but I have some problems. I need counseling and I want you to pray for me and counsel me. And I want for you and I to go somewhere that is private and secluded so that nobody can see or hear what you say. The Lord said, tell Denny not to go. So I stopped swimming on the spur of the moment. No more swimming. I'll tell you why, because God gave me a message to give to this young man called Denny. So I rang him and I gave him the message. And he said to me, Pastor Greg, can I get back to you later on? I said, you sure can. I went back to swimming. I had done what God wanted me to do. The next day he knocked on my door. He says, Pastor Greg, can we talk? I said, yeah. He said, why did you give me that message? I said, I didn't give you that message. I was the postman. I gave you that message because the message came from God. Why do you ask? He said, well, I was in my unit and I heard the phone ringing. I went up to the phone and the phone was on a little wall here, the kitchen bench here, and the window here looking up his driveway. He says, and as I was answering the phone, this beautiful young lady who I'd never met before had got out of a car and was walking down my driveway to my front door. He said, by the time you'd finished saying what you were saying, she was knocking on my door, and I said, can I get back to you tomorrow? Amazing, eh? God's timing is always right. So he said, why did you say what you said to me? I said, because the Lord told me to, Danny. Why do you ask? He said, because the lady was knocking on my door. And when I opened the door, she said, you don't know me. My name is. And I need counseling and prayer. And I believe you're the person to help me. Can we go somewhere that is private and secluded, like the beach? And can you minister to me there without anybody around? And he remembered what I said. And he said, get lost. This was not somebody from God. This was somebody who was going to destroy his entire future. You may get a word of knowledge and not really know what it's about, and all you have to do is share it. You don't have to go to their house, put your hand in and say, thus saith the Lord. You can just talk normally if you've got a word from the Lord. You might have a word for the Lord for somebody who's not a Christian, who lives next door, who you work alongside of, and you may save their lives. You may get a word from the Lord not to ring somebody, but just to pray for somebody's protection. And I'll tell you what will happen. Just like me, they ring me up and they say, you won't believe what happened to me 3 minutes ago. I nearly got wiped out by a truck. God wants you to save people's lives. He wants to see you operating in the Holy Ghost so that you can save people from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And I know this, that every one of you have people out there that you want to see born again. You need to pray for them. You need to uphold them in the prayer. You don't need to go and tell them all the time. You just need to speak good words over them. So then what happened to me was I had a lot of young people in our church in just over 2 years. We had married some 42 couples, and these couples used to always come and visit. And only two of them did I say that I don't think this is right, but those two people got married and those two people ended up in divorce. But there was one couple, they got married and she fell pregnant. And it came the time that she was due to give birth to her child. And I was going to bed. I wasn't thinking about them. I didn't know she was in hospital at that time. I didn't know that she had the baby or was having the baby. But that week I didn't know. But that night I went to bed and my wife came in the door and I said, honey, I've just received a word from the Lord. He said, what is it? I said, we need to intercede. Does anybody know what the word intercede means? It means to pray on behalf of. Can I just say this? I don't say this everywhere I go, but this is just for me. I have a policy that goes like this. Lips that touch wine will never touch mine. All right? So my wife doesn't drink and I don't drink. Now, I'm not against people who drink alcohol. I'm not. Some people can have a little nip, you can have whatever. But I don't drink alcohol at all. I'll tell you why I don't. Because I'm on call as an ambassador for Christ 24 hours a day, every day. Now, I don't want to get a little bit tipsy and go to bed happy, you know. And the Lord says, intercede. And I think he says, go get your wife some aniseeds. I don't want to do that. I just want to be able to hear very clearly. Clearly hearing the voice of the Lord. So, I go to bed that night, hadn't been, plonking around. And the Lord says, pray for this lady and her son. Intercede for them. Because the husband is about to kill the newborn son. That's pretty drastic, isn't it? So I said to Susie, I told her what the deal was. And we just begin to intercede. We called, you guys probably know Colin Janstringer. I called Colin Janstringer. They prayed too. And then I felt a peace in my heart. Peace in my heart. I felt everything safe for that mum and that child. So we went to sleep. Next morning, I had a young guy come by. He was like a junior pastor or young guy wanting to go in the ministry. And I said to him, I said, Steve, we've got to go out and see this couple. He said, what are you going to see them for? I said, well, last night he was going to kill his son. He said, how do you know that? I said, the Lord told me. He said, are you going to go front up to their house, knock on the door and say, hey, you were going to kill your son last night? I said, yep, I am. He said, that guy will probably give you the fivefold ministry. Does anybody know about the fivefold ministry? That's a pretty hard thing to tell somebody, isn't it? But I got it from God. I felt it was absolutely a surety, and I'm now going to knock on his door, and I walk up three flights of stairs to the top floor of this apartment building, block of units, and I knock on the door, and the mum comes out and says, Pastor Greg, have you come to see my newborn babe? I said, I'd love to see your baby. I gave the baby a little bit of a cuddle and gave it back. I said, but I really came to see your husband. You see, sometimes you can't be bashful about the things, Lord. If you know something and you know it directly from God, you got to speak it out. So she called her husband down. He came down the hall and he said, Pastor Greg, can I help you? I said, yes, last night the Lord told me that you were going to kill your son. How do you think the wife reacted? She said, Pastor Greg, what are you saying? I love my husband. He loves me. And the husband said, hang on. He said, just don't say anything more. Pastor Greg's right. I've never wanted a child. I don't want children. I never wanted this child. And I took the opportunity last night. You put the baby in the bassinet. You went in to have a shower. And I took the baby out of the bassinet, walked out on the balcony, and I held our son over the balcony, three floors up, concrete below, and I was going to drop him, and something stopped me. What stopped you? The intercession. He said, something stopped me. I was going to tell the police that I slipped on the concrete balcony here and went like, and it was an accident. He said, but God stopped me. So does anybody have a word of knowledge whether they stayed together or got divorced? Come on, anybody? Anybody? They separated. And she actually came to Perth, Western Australia. I think he went overseas. But about 6 years later, he comes back and he wants his son back. Never been with him. And it goes to court. And I get a letter of being, I was subpoenaed to fly from Queensland to here to stand in a court of law to give a word of, a testimony to a word of knowledge. I don't know anybody else that's ever had that for a word of knowledge. So I came and they took me into the court, sat me up in this area. I think they call it the dock. And then they had this man in the court and he brought a Bible over to me and he put it in my hand and he said, put your hand on top of this Bible and he says, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? I said, yes, I do. So then that man took it away and then the young man's lawyer got up and says, how dare you come to this court and lie to the judge and lie to these people that God spoke to you and told you that this lovely man wanted to kill his son back some years ago. I said, yeah, that's what I'm telling him. He says, how dare you? That's not true. You're a liar. And I said to the man, Can I have the Bible back, please? Can you get me that Bible? So they went and got the Bible. I held it like this and I said, now, why do you ask me and everybody else to put their hand on the Bible and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth? And the lawyer said, because we believe that the Word of God is the supreme truth. We believe there's no book like this book anywhere in the world. I said, well, I gathered that because you didn't ask me to lay my hands on a street directory, on a marriage, you know, counselling book, or a cookery book or a garden book. You wanted me to put my hand on the Bible. He said, that's right, because we believe in God we trust. I said, let me read you some of the Bible. I opened it up and I turned to that scripture where it says, and God gave gifts to man. We won the case. The mother still has her son now who's now growing up. And dad's never been anywhere in the picture. Isn't God a good God? You see, you may not start there. But you may start, like with me, when the phone rings, I tell my wife who it is. Pretty good, eh? I said, not for me, it's your daughter. You know? If it's a tax man, it's still not for me. No. It's for you. One time I was ministering. I did a series on angelology in our church. And what happened was I did four lessons, I think. And we had a lot of people come along to those teachings, and they learned about, you know, that you don't pray to angels, but God will send angels to help deliver you, like with Daniel and Peter and so forth, you know. And that Jesus had an angel too, because they said, cast yourself down, your angel will pick you up. So I did a teaching, just an overall teaching, and we had a couple in our church who I also married called Joe and Helen Dutton. Do you remember Joe and Helen Dutton? They were both in the Navy. They had been transferred up to Townsville. And when they were in Townsville, Helen had a baby and Joe was out there doing his thing in the Navy. And one day the Navy said to the guys there, look, we're doing a training course with the Navy and the Army, and it's on air sea rescue. And so Joe put his hand up and said, I'd like to do that. So they went into a classroom for a week or so, and they did all the studies about what happens when you parachute from a plane, and they had to parachute from the training planes into an area on the water with a big floating circle on it or something. And so after the training, they went out and got in their planes. And Joe was with three other Navy people, Navy and Army people. And they went up to 2,000 feet above sea level. And they knew exactly what they were doing. And the three of them jumped out of the plane. And as they jumped, they had to pull their parachute. But Joe looked up and all the others, the balloon, but his is all tangled. Now he's heading for Earth at maximum velocity. You can't go any faster than you're going. If you hit the ground in a 2,000 feet fall, you're dead. If you hit water, you're just as dead because the water's like concrete because you're coming so fast. And so he remembered, you know what? It's really good to come to church. Do you know why? God speaks to you via the pastor through the Holy Ghost. That's how it happens. And those words come into your spirit and you remember them in a time of need. And Joe pulled his emergency second parachute. He got tangled up in the first or something. And now he's heading down. And the first thing he thought of was, Lord, save me. I've heard about the angels. Lord, save me. And he said to the Lord, I want to see my wife and child again. And immediately, he stops in midair. Stops in midair. There's no time with God. Did you know that? The they had around the foreshore and in boats around many, many people who were judging how they fell so that they would advance into the next level. They all saw him just go from the plane straight down, hit the water. When you hit the water at 2,000 feet, it will literally rip all your body parts asunder. Your legs and arms will go, everything will go, you'll burst. So they don't send out a rescue boat to pick you up. They send out a salvage crew to pick up the body parts. But Joe told us that as he cried out to God, he stopped in midair and four angels appeared. And they said to him, God has heard your cry and has answered your prayer, but you're going to have to go down. So down he goes. They come out to get the body parts. He's treading water. Not a bruise, not a thing, nothing. They say, whoa, why are you still alive? He says, I prayed. Four angels appeared. They told me that God heard my prayer. They bring him in. They want to take him to the hospital. He said, I don't want to go to the hospital. I want to go see my wife and baby. They said, no, you've got to go to the hospital. Got to go. Got to have a checkup because you can sue. You know about that. The world lives on suits today, don't they? So the following week, in the major magazines around Australia, Women's Weekly, Woman's Day, New Idea, is his photo on the front cover. Angels save Navy man. And then he's dead. Isn't God a good God? God has our best interest at heart. Yours. Every one of you. You might say, well, it's not so much me because, you know, I've blown it a few times. Abraham blew it. David blew it. Noah blew it. Solomon blew it 1,000 times. But God still loved them. Because we're his kids. God wants to minister to you. He wants to bless you. And he wants to use you. And you don't have an argument. I have a little saying, a man with an argument is never at the mercy of a man. Sorry, a man with a testimony is never at the mercy of a man with a mere argument. We need to get the word of God in our heart. We need to live by it. I'll tell you what, you can win this city if you go out and say, Lord, just use me today. Who do I speak to today? And don't go speak to people if he doesn't lead you to somebody. It's not your mission to go speak to the whole wide world. It's your mission to hear God's voice and obey him. Amen? Can I stop there, Pastor? Okay, all right. Thank you. Anybody receive anything out of that? I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to ask a question. And everybody, you know how they say, we're going to have an altar call, no one looking around? I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to say, everybody can look around, everybody if you want to. Right. How many people would like to be used of the Lord in the gifts? You want to grow. You know, you might, don't worry about it if you haven't been doing it for the last 25 years. If you want to start doing that, then I want to pray for you as a whole. Can I do that? Father, I come to you right now because, Lord, I believe that everybody in their heart, being honest, would say, Lord, use me. Lord, I want to be used to bring people to the Lord. I want to be used to pray for the sick. I want to be used to be given words of knowledge and prophetic words, Lord. Not pathetic words, by the way, okay, prophetic words. And, Lord, that I will be a benefit to the people of this church and this community, to my family, to my workforce, Lord. Just use me and let me see a harvest of souls. In Jesus' name, amen.